So we're in John chapter 3. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, I didn't put the verses there, and you'll see why in a little bit, because you might want to take some extra notes. And I usually have like a half of a line that you can put, you know, a paragraph in, so I tried to be a little more thoughtful this time. But John chapter 3, probably one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. And I'm not talking about just John 3:16. It's a very meaty passage that's just wonderful that we should all be very familiar with. We're not looking at the whole chapter today. We're looking at three verses in the next session that have to do with light, but I kind of have to explain some things before we get to that. So that's what we're doing in the first session here. And the first session, three verses that we are very familiar with. It's John chapter 3, verses 16, 17, and 18, and it talks about God giving His Son. So let me just read these out loud to you. I'll pray, and then we're going to cover 3 points, okay? And then we'll take our have a little snack time, and then we will come back and then talk about verses 19, 20, and 21, which is kind of the emphasis of the sermon today, okay, or the day. But I have to give you the first part before the second part makes as much sense. Verse 16, everyone's probably heard about, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And then verse 18, "He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." That's where we're going right now. Let's pray. Lord, help us to concentrate. Lord, open our hearts to learn and embrace what You teach. We know there's a lot on our hearts today. There certainly is on my heart. I pray, Lord, that You would just help us with Your Holy Spirit to be able to focus on Your truths, and may these truths embolden us, change us, root us in Your truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you have 3 points, right? On the one side, you guys need pens. Is that what you're looking for? You want to need pens? Okay. All right, number one. And these are just verse 16 is a point, verse 17 is a point, verse 18 is a point. We'll talk about more than just those simple points, but we try to keep them simple for the kids here. But number one, verse 16 talks about God's action. Okay? God's action. The Bible says, and by the way, I think I underline it here, but it's what did God do? What did God do? Okay? It's God's action. God's action means what did God do? What did God do? It says, "For God so loved the world that He" what? "Gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God did something. As I understand Scripture, God loved. And the word love is more an action, not a feeling. Okay, some people might disagree with that, but I believe that you can love your enemies. Okay, you don't have to like them, but what is love? Well, bottom line, love usually is, in the Bible, action. It's measured by action. You can say you love your brother, but if you don't care for your brother, you don't really love your brother. That's in 1 John. Okay, you're abiding in darkness, the Bible says. If action is not present, love is not present. Okay, the Bible equates love with action. So what did God do? God so loved. He loved in such a way, He acted. And if I were to translate the word love in our day, I would probably translate it by the word care. It's an action word. He cared for the world. Okay, the old King James used the word charity. What's the idea? Charity is something that someone did for somebody. Okay, it's something you do. So what did God do? God's action. He gave His only begotten Son. He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I was going to add more to this, but I'm like, Kevin, you're just making it hard. But there's a transaction here. God gave something, His Son, so that people could be saved. Okay? He provided the whole transaction here. That if someone believed, they would be saved. So what did Jesus do? He died on the cross. He took our punishment. He took our guilt. He took our sin, right? That's the only way we could do that. So God gave Jesus to be that sin bearer, that sin taker, to die for us. That was what God did. All right? Now, we're not trying to exhaust the verse, but I want to move to verse 17, because verse 17 and 18 is kind of where we want to park. Hopefully we'll be back again in chapter 3 to do justice to the chapter, because there's more to this than what we're attempting to cover today. So what did God do? He gave His only begotten Son. He loved the world so much, He gave His Son to die on the cross to be the sacrifice in our place. Okay? That's what He did. Number two that I want to get into more is, what was God's intention? Okay? And what would be the question you'd ask for that? Not what, but why? Yeah. Why did God do this? I think I have it in your notes. So why did God do this? God's intention. What are your intentions? What was God attempting to do? The Bible says this, that God did not send His Son into the world. Why did He do this? He didn't do it to condemn the world. I'll do this. Not to condemn the world. By the way, who's the world? You're talking about the human race, not the earth, okay? When it says God so loved the world, it wasn't an ecology lesson. It was His care for the sons of Adam, if you will. I guess that's a Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe thing or something. But the descendants of Adam, He loved all of humanity, okay? Every man, woman, and child. He loved them so much that He gave His only begotten Son. He did not send Jesus to condemn them. I think I have a phrase I used in the next one here. When you're condemned, what are you? You're guilty. Can you be guilty and not condemned? Technically. Yeah, you're judged. If you were to do this, and we'll get this the next hour, so you don't even have to write it down, but condemned means you're under judgment. You're already guilty. If it was in a court, you're not only in jail, but you've already been convicted of the crime, and you're due justice. You're waiting for your penalty to be filled out, whether it's the death penalty, whether it's paying a ticket, whether it's going to jail for years. You're already condemned. You're already judged. It's over with, except for the penalty itself. Okay? The Bible says He did not come, send Jesus to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. To save the world. This isn't in your notes. I'm just writing it down. So not to condemn, but to save the world. That the world through Him, Jesus is that avenue of salvation, through Jesus might be saved. Okay? So what's God's intention? His intention is not to condemn. Who's in the world? Raise your hand. Who's part of the world? Raise your hand. Everyone raise your hand. Guy, raise your hand. You part of the world? Okay, good. You're scaring me there, buddy, because if not, we have aliens among us. Okay? But the whole world, God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn you. He sent Jesus in the world to what? Save you, right? That's God's intention. I'm going to express my ignorance right now, more so than normal. But I read this verse, and this lands salvation back into the mind of God, because I believe there's such a thing as predestination and election. But I also believe this is absolutely true. God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. Now, some people will try and define world as those that are going to be saved. You have to rewrite the entire Bible. John MacArthur is one of those that would say world doesn't mean world. It means the world of people who will be believers. I don't embrace that at all. God doesn't want to condemn anyone. He's clear about that. He says that more than once. I believe that anyone can be saved. That doesn't mean that everyone will be saved, and we'll talk about that the next session. Okay? And we'll tell you why. And it isn't God. It's not God. Okay? That God doesn't want you to be condemned, that's not the point of Jesus coming. God doesn't send Jesus so that people will be condemned. He sends Jesus so that people will be saved from their sins, their sinfulness, their guilt. Okay? God didn't give His only begotten Son so that you are condemned. He gave His only begotten Son so that you will be saved from condemnation. Okay? So far, so good. Why did God do it? Because He wants to save you. He wants to save everyone in the world. Okay? Now, the next one here is the clincher, though. Our decision. Okay? Our decision. And I don't know what I have in your notes exactly, but what must I do? And maybe do is too strong of a word, but that it works well in Acts 16:30. Sirs, what must I to be saved, right? Right? So it's a biblical word, but it's not do in the sense of earning anything. How do I participate? I want it. I want in this. I'm supposed to perish based upon John 3:16. Without Jesus, I perish, right? Whosoever believes in Him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. I want the everlasting life part. The perish part doesn't sound good. It isn't. I want the not condemned part, not the condemned. I want to be saved. Okay? I don't want to be condemned. And God didn't send Jesus for my condemnation. He sent Jesus for my salvation, okay? What must I do? Okay, now this is where we want to spend a little more time, as much time as we have. There's two categories of people. If there's only about two verses in all the Bible that are as clear as John 3:18, and John 3:18 is one of them. When it comes to salvation, a lot of people say, you got to make Jesus Lord of your life, join the church, walk the aisle, get baptized, put a big check in the plate. Maybe your parents needed to be, you know, that helps you anyway. They had to be something so that you could be something. None of the above. The Bible says that there's only two groups of people, and there's only one way to be saved. And how many points? How many points in the track? You know, what steps do I need to take to be saved? And how many steps are there? There's one. All right? And here it is. He that believes on Him is not condemned. What does it take? Okay? Chew on this. And folks, if you're wrestling, like I did years ago with, what am I saved or am I not saved? Am I saved? Did I pray the right prayer? Did I mean when I prayed the right prayer? And how do I know? Because I don't remember what I prayed, and I don't remember how I felt, and I want to make sure, and you know, all this stuff. And it's like, the question is, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, your sin bearer? Okay? God, and listen, God is not trying to condemn you. He's not trying to make it complex so that, oh, you missed out. Sorry, you didn't do point number five. You did all four, but you didn't number five. You're out. Gone. You're gone. No, what God wants you to be saved. He's given everything that He has from His holiness perspective so that you can be saved. Even to the point where all the judgment that you need that comes upon you has been placed on Jesus. He's for you as much as He can be for you. What do you need to do? He that believes on Him is not condemned. But he that believes, does not believe, I guess is New King James, is condemned already. Because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Unless we didn't catch it in John 3:16 and John 3:18, he repeats it three times. He that believes is not condemned. He that believes not is condemned already because he's not, what? Believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What do you have to do to be saved? Believe. Kind of like in Acts 16:31, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm moving this out of the way because I need some help here. We're going to illustrate. Kids, are you done writing down here? Lemuel, are you drawing it? Take notes. I need some help. Oh, you're colored. I think about hung myself. All right. Guy, come up here. You're not paying attention, so I'm going to need to come up here and pay attention. With others. Come on up. I'm not going to embarrass you. Come on up. Anymore. Come on. I'm going to get a whole bunch. Jana, come on up. Please, Guy. I'm begging you. Come on up. I need your help. Joanna, come on up. Mary. Lemuel. Am I missing any one of the other kids? Okay. Let's go over here first. Right over here. Okay, this is a group. You're the group. You're the world. Say, we are the world. Okay, you get the point. All right, they're the world. Okay, question now. The Bible says there's two groups. What group is everyone in without doing anything? The Bible says that you are already condemned. All right? What do you have to do, kids, to be condemned? You are the condemned. What do you have to do to be condemned? No, 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 no. What do you have to do to be condemned? You are already condemned. What do you have to do to be condemned? Okay, let me ask you this way. Where are we at right now? Yeah, I'm specifically. We're in the church building, right? What do you have to do to be in the church building? What must you do now to get into the church building? Come on, Guy. I know your gears are clicking. No, you. What do you have to do to get in the church building? No. What do you have to right now? Do you have to go into a door? Right now. Why? Ooh. Did you catch that? What do you have to do to get in the church building, Lemuel? Right now. You're already in the church building, right? So what do you have to do to get here? I know I'm making it harder. Nothing, right? You don't have to do anything, right? Joanna, where are you right now? Are you in the church building also? What do you have to do to get in the church building right now? Why? Because you're already... Okay. Jana, where are you right now? Are you in the church building?
Yeah.
What do you have to do to get in the church building right now? Nothing. Good. All right. Why? Because you're already here, right? Mary, where are you? Okay. And if I told you I need you to be in the church, what do you have to do? Nothing. Why? Already here. Okay, now, let's go. Now, you guys are in the world. You're part of the world, and you're already condemned. You're already condemned. Okay, play with me. You're condemned. Say, I'm condemned.
I'm condemned.
Lemuel, I'm condemned.
I'm condemned. I'm condemned.
Yeah, close up. I'm condemned. Okay, now what do you have to do, kids, to be condemned?
Nothing.
Nothing. Why? Because you're already
here.
Yeah. Yeah, in the condemned pile, right? Do you get that? Now, what's cool is, what do you have to do to be not condemned? What do you have to do? What does anybody on the face of the earth have to do to be under the judgment of God? Nothing. They already are under the judgment of God. So what do you have to do? Yeah, you have to believe. The Bible says he who believes on him. You have to believe specifically on Jesus Christ as the sin-bearing Son of God, okay? You can say it lots of different ways, but Jesus is the Son of God. He's a special person, and he did a substitutionary payment. You have to remember those two things. But if you believe, then you, Bible says, he who believes on him is not condemned, no longer in the condemned pile. Okay? What do you have to do, Jana, to get over to the not condemned pile? Because right now you're already condemned. You don't have to do anything. What do you have to do? Help her out. Believe on. Yeah. Believe on Jesus, right? Because a lot of people say, I believe. And, well, it depends on what you believe. Okay? So we're going to actually get every one of these saved because we aren't leaving. What do you have to do to get out of the condemned pile? You're already condemned, right? No, not just believe in God. Believe on Jesus Christ, right? Okay? He who believes in him is not condemned. Why? Because he has moved to the different group, right? There's just two groups. Okay? What do you have to do to be not condemned?
Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Preacher boy. Okay, you're already condemned, right? What do you have to do to be not condemned?
Believe on Jesus.
As my Savior, right? Okay? Because I say that not to give him a hard time, but to understand it. People believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in Jesus as the sin-bearing Son of God. Get it? All right? Muslims believe that Jesus was a prophet. That is not what God says Jesus is, and therefore believing him as a prophet does not save them. Fair? He's not their sin-bearer. He's not the Son of God. He's a special guy. Okay? Not true. Okay. So, the Bible says, he who believes on him is not condemned, but he who believes not is condemned already. What do you have to do to be condemned? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You don't have to choose to not believe. You don't have to do anything. You're already condemned. Okay? So there's two groups. Okay, thanks. Please be seated. Thank you very much. All right. So notice the bottom line here. We got just a little bit more time. I at first I was gonna draw like an angle on the board like this. It's just like an upside down V, okay? And then I was gonna have an arrow come down and say, okay, someone comes here and you have to decide, you know, which direction you go, yes or no. Okay, belief or unbelief. But according to the Bible, we're already, I'm going to draw a square here, of the no's. We're already condemned. Okay? So the only difference is you draw a line over here of people who say yes. Okay? Nothing else is there. There's no dividing line, or I call it a watershed kind of idea. It goes one way or the other. No, the Bible says people are condemned already. What if they're really good people? What if they don't believe? Then the Bible says they're still condemned. Okay? And the bottom line is, the key decision is, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? But I go to church. I'm sorry, but that's not the criteria. That's not the choice. If you believe on him, you are not condemned. If you do not believe, you are you remain condemned, if that makes sense. Why? Because you have not, what? Believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Name is His identity, His authority, His what He represents. All of the above. That's why I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can parse that out. He's God. He's the promised Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. It's not just a person. Okay. What if you're a member of Northridge Baptist Church? I'm not trying to make people doubt their salvation, but folks, that doesn't get you any closer to heaven. If you put a big check in the offering plate, it doesn't get you any closer to heaven. What if you get baptized? It doesn't get you. It doesn't say he who is baptized is not condemned. It's he who believes in him is not condemned. And he who believes not is already condemned. All right? That's the key. Our decision, it boils down to, will you believe what God says about Jesus, his son? And if you have said yes, what group are you in? You are in the not condemned group. And guess what? That's exactly what God wanted for you. He doesn't want anybody here. I guess that worked out well, that illustration, didn't it? God doesn't want anybody in this group. But listen, folks, there will be many people that stay in this group. And they are condemned, and the condemnation continues. And I'm going to tell you why in the next session. And it isn't because of God. Because God does not want, 1 Timothy 2, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's Peter, isn't it? But God doesn't want anyone to perish. So don't blame God if someone doesn't get saved. Blame something else, which I'll talk about in the next hour. John 3:16-18. And we've only scratched the surface. We haven't exhausted John 3:16, John 3:17, and John 3:18. But just understand that God's action was because he cared for you. To the point where he gave his only begotten son. God's intent was so not to condemn you, but to save you. Now, people will be condemned, but it isn't because of God. It's because they refuse to believe. Right? That's the choice there. Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? That is the bottom line. Nothing else matters, because you have sinned, and Jesus is the only solution to your sin. That was God's gift. He gave that. But you have to believe that that is true for you. And if you have not, today is the day. Now is the time, the Bible says, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know about tomorrow. There'll be people in Des Moines, Iowa, alive today and not alive tomorrow, that didn't ever expect that to be the case. You don't know. Now is the time to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? God moves you from the condemned to the not condemned group because of what he has done for you, because you believe what he has done for you. Let's pray. Lord, bless our fellowship time. And Lord, just embed these truths in our hearts, so that they might be clear to us for salvation, be clear to us for sanctification, and we might grow in our salvation, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and Lord, for our proclamation, that we might clearly share with others. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.